Welcome to the next installment of our Psalms of History series that is running parallel with our Harmony of the Histories series that we're doing at Calvary 316 on Sunday morning. We're looking at Psalms that correlate to stories that we're looking at in 1 Samuel specifically to try to gain some insight into what's going on in the heart of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. There is, in certain places, a little bit of license that we're going to have to employ because not all of the Psalms are exactly cut and dry regarding exactly when, where, why David wrote them. This will be a good example of that, the two Psalms that we'll be looking at in 1 Samuel chapter 18. In regards to a quick recap, David is coming off of this great victory against Goliath. Going back and forth from playing music in the king's palace to tending the sheep in his father's fields there in Bethlehem is no longer his dynamic. David is now a permanent fixture in the courts of Saul. He's gotten fame, notoriety, praise, accolades. I mean, he did just lead Israel into this wonderful victory over the Philistines and Goliath in particular. As this chapter unfolds, David is in a situation where he is becoming more acclimated to the new fame that he has. He's learning a bit more of the protocols of being in the court of the king. He has been placed into command of men within the army. In fact, chapter 18 probably covers a year or two in its totality. David getting official military training, being put in charge of men. And while all this is going on, Saul is growing more and more skeptical that David might indeed be the anointed one. Saul's very aware that the anointing has been removed from him, but now he's very concerned that David might be the man that would replace him. And so even in the midst of Saul eyeing David, there's this scene where David is playing music. Saul is this distressing spirit. Saul throws some spears at him. David leaves the first time. He comes back. All of these things are going on. David is in a situation where the people love him. Jonathan adores him. But at the same time, the king is very skeptical. And so he'll end up being sent out into battle. Saul's hoping that the Philistines would kill David. He doesn't. There's just this interesting season of life that's described for us in 1 Samuel 18. And I think a great psalm likely written during this season of David's life would be Psalms 19. Let's go through it very quickly. It begins, and this is a famous psalm. In fact, C.S. Lewis said that this was probably the greatest of all of the psalms. It begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." David, no doubt, at night, sitting out there in the palace courtyards, looking up at the sky filled with stars, and he's just contemplating the awesomeness of God, the glory of God, how the firmament, the stars of the heavens show God's incredible handiwork, how unique the colors and the twinkles. And he's seeing nature, he's seeing a starry sky, the galaxies, and he's just observing and commenting as to how awesome God is. He continues, he says, "Day unto day utters speech, declares speech. Day unto day speech wells up, and night unto night reveals knowledge." He says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world." And in so many ways, what David is observing here, the Apostle Paul will kind of codify. He'll bring up the same idea in Romans chapter 1. As a criticism to the decay of culture and the perversity of society, Paul building the argument that no one is above accountability. Why? Well, because even God's invisible attributes are clearly seen in the natural world. And this is a great example where David is just observing the starry sky. He's observing the natural world around him. And he's giving glory to God that these things speak of God. They reveal God. They're the evidence of a creator. He says, in them, God has set a tabernacle for the sun. So in the heavens, there's the tabernacle. It's the dwelling place for the sun. I can imagine maybe David is staying up to see the sunrise. And as he's writing this beautiful song, God has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. You know, the sun emerging from its tabernacle. It's rising in its glory. It's rejoicing. It's going to run its race throughout the day. It's rising, verse 6, is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. From David's perspective, again, how much of the natural world does he know? At this point, people were fairly convinced that that the earth was stationary and everything cycled around the earth. Galileo will later disprove that. But he does mention a circuit, implying a circular sphere of the earth. That the sun goes up and the sun runs its course and the sun disappears. It goes back into its tabernacle only to reemerge the next day. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, probably better translated, refreshing, rejuvenating the soul. Now David turns from the natural world to the revelation, God revealed in the natural world to now God's revelation through his word. The law of the Lord is perfect. And at the time that David's writing this, how much of the word of God existed? The first five books of Moses, the stories of Judges, of Ruth, Joshua, not a whole lot, maybe Job. The law of the Lord, God's word, is perfect. I want to make a notation here that in the first six verses, the references of God is using just the generic El in the Hebrew, El, the kind of the not personal title, the masculine presence of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the El, God. But now he switches the law of not just God, but of the Lord, Jehovah. This is the personal title of God given by God to the Hebrew people. The law of the Lord, my Lord. It's perfect. And it refreshes the soul. David observing the perfection of God's law. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, in the poetic way that these next verses roll out, you'll see kind of this tit for tat, this back and forth. Oh, how incredible it must have been to hear it sung. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's settled. It's beyond dispute. And what does this do? It makes wise the simple. One of the reasons that I attribute this particular psalm to this period of David's life is that as you go through that 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, you'll see that at the beginning, David behaved wisely, and then David behaved wisely in all things, and then David behaved more wisely than anyone else. Like, there's this progression as David is going through these experiences of him growing in wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom is the appropriate application of such knowledge. And he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is settled. It's sure. And this is what makes wise. The simple, there's a humility within David. The statutes of the Lord are right. And what does this result in? Rejoicing of the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. And what results? The enlightening of the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Keep in mind that David is in an unfamiliar scenario, situation, environment. I mean, he's gone from obscurity, tending sheep as a shepherd of Bethlehem, the youngest of a bunch of brothers, to now being the great hero of Israel in the courts of the king of Israel. He's gone from obscurity to incredible popularity, but with that popularity comes the skepticism of the king and the persecution. Like, David is navigating things he's got no training for, no experience regarding. And so it's in this moment of writing where he's like, he's growing in wisdom, but he's acknowledging how desperate he is of needing God's law, of needing God's righteousness, of needing God's ways, the enlightening of the eyes via the commandments of the Lord. And then he declares, incredibly, verse 10, more to be desired are they. They, well, it's the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. That's the progress. Those things are to be desired more than what? Well, gold. More than gold. David's going from poverty to the palace. And yet he recognizes that these things are but temporary. These things are but tools. But what's great? What's of more value? Gold has value, but what's of more value? Well, God's word. Yea, than much fine gold. And then he says it's sweeter, the consumption of it, what it does to the spirit, to the soul, to the heart. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by God's word, your servant is warned. It's how he grows. It's how he keeps charge of his own heart. And in keeping them, God's word, there's a wonderful, a great reward. He closes out. He says, who can understand his errors? He's probably looking at Saul in this mental capacity, this decline, not wanting to be welled up with too much pride in and of himself. He says, who can understand his errors? And then he declares to God, he pleads with God, cleanse me from secret faults. He adds, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Two different things. Presumptuous sins. These are sins of they're active sins. They're deliberate sins. They're sins of the will. The secret faults are sins of omission, sins of ignorance. He's like, God, protect me from all of these things. Let them not have a dominion over me. Why? So that I might be blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgression. And he closes this surrendering of his mouth and his heart to the Lord. He says, let the words of my mouth, the things that I say, and not just that, but the meditations of my heart, the things that I desire, let those things be acceptable in your sight. And then he declares, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a wonderful psalm. Psalms 19, written by David, the sweet musician of Israel, I think, very possibly during this time period that we find in 1 Samuel 18. A lot of things going on in his life, but what insight into the things that are bubbling up within his soul, the lessons that he's learning. If you enjoyed this Psalm of History, if you go to calvary316.tv/histories, you can find not just all of the Bible studies that we've been working our way through, the histories, but you can also find all of these psalms and where they correlate back into the narrative. God bless.